Wouldn't it be terrible if somebody came up to you and said, I'm trying to get my certificate or license to be a masseuse, and I need to practice a back rub and see if I get it right. And you go, oh, no, really? Anyway. Or if somebody brings you lasagna and they said, I cook lasagna, and you're thinking, it's always better the second time. I guess I could eat it the first time if I had to. Maybe lasagna and a back rub, that might work. So I said all that to say this. Next month, the Rhema pastors and traveling ministers and such are meeting together for a state meeting up in Skunks and Rabbits. If you know where that is, Wisconsin Rapids. And I'm one of the guest speakers. And so I was thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to speak on? And he was telling me, well, some of the stuff you've been speaking on at your church. I thought, really? And so in my half awake, half asleep this morning, I'm halfway between waking up. He just downloaded the whole thing into me. And I said, well, God, I don't have a message for tonight. And so all afternoon I worked on what I'm going to share with them at the state gathering or whatever we call it. It's not really a convention, but it's an all-day event where we gather together. Some of you might hear it. So you've heard it once. You'll hear it again. And if you wind up being there, Jeff, it'll be third time lasagna. Sorry. Yummy. Oh, my. Oh, my. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't say the word hate very often, but I love the cooks in this church. But when Shelley goes to Africa and you make, what are they called, those big things? Casseroles. And you deliver it, and it's the size of a salad bowl, and it's me at home. You know how long it takes me to go through a small one? Like a week. And I look at that thing, I'm thinking, what am I going to do with that? And it seems like a lot. And I work at it every day, but by about the fifth day on the same casserole, because I'm trying to not feel, produce any guilt about not eating the whole thing. I'm working through it. I'm going, is there any end to this? This must be one of those multiplication of fish and loaves thing. I eat at the casserole, I come back, it's fuller than I left. So anyway, so here we go. This is some of the stuff that I'm going to be sharing. You've heard it a couple of times because the Holy Spirit's been bringing up some of these things over the last couple months. So I'm kind of pulling it all together for a bunch of the people that'll be showing up to the state gathering that haven't heard what we've been hearing for the last couple months. In the old European languages, there was a word, Drew, D-R-E-W. Sometimes they spelled it D-R-U. Sometimes they had a couple of different spellings for it. And it was the word for tree. The old German word, T-R-E-U, meant as straight and solid as a tree. The German language developed into the English language. And that word became T-R-E-U-E. By definition, it meant faith. That was the word for faith. It meant something that was certain, loyal, constant, lawful, accurate, and real. Modern English spells it T-R-U-E. True. From true, we get the word truth, which simply means the quality or reality or the essence of being true. The English word for fact comes from the Latin factum, which means to make something or to do something. The definition of a fact literally means information concerning something that has happened. A secondary meaning is something that's true. I disagree. I disagree with the dictionary. I think the dictionary is wrong. If you've ever had to spend a week at jury duty, you would discover that each side with their own multiple witnesses observed the same facts and they came to court with opposite conclusions as to what the truth is. Opinions are regularly upgraded and given the status of truth by both parties in a courtroom. Opinions are synonymous, they're not synonyms, I can't say that, synonyms of truth, unless, of course, it's God's opinion. You know what a synonym is. God's opinion is always a synonym of truth. A Bible word for glory, doxa, which one of the meanings is God's opinion. Did you know that? Glory. We're going to step into the glory of God forevermore. God's opinion of you is glory. I had this friend. She wasn't very nice. She would say things like, I've got to be honest with you. I need to tell you the truth. And then she would say awful things about people, pretending that somehow by declaring it to be honest and truthful, it was virtue. And she would slash people to pieces with her tongue as she told the truth honestly. And I thought, there's nothing honest or true about what she was saying at all. She was expressing her opinion and elevating it to an honest, truthful statement. A synonym describes two words that are the same. They're interchangeable without destroying a definition. For example, Bible and Scripture. If I said, let's read from the Bible today or let's read from the Scripture today, either one of them, you'd understand what I said. It'd be no question in your minds that if I said Bible or Scripture, the Scripture reading or the Bible reading, that that's the same. All Bible is Scripture and all Scripture is Bible. On the other hand, the Bible is a book. They are not synonyms. All Bibles are books, but not all books are Bibles. Doesn't go the other way. I submit to you that truth and facts are not synonyms. All truth is factual, but not all facts are true. God truth is a standard. It is a measure, an unchangeable measure. It's unchangeable because God is immutable. Another long word means he never changes. Malachi 3:36 says, I, the Lord, do not change. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Notice the word perfect in that verse. Perfection is part of the character and nature of God. 2 Samuel 22:31, as for God, his way is perfect. 1 John 4:18 speaks of God's perfect love. You're going to like that. I think you haven't experienced his perfect love. Some of you have a taste of it. James 1:25 speaks of God's perfect law. Romans 12:2 speaks of God's perfect will. On and on. Why can't God change? If God ever changed his perfect nature or character, he'd cease to be God. If you were in archery and shot a bow and arrow and hit the bullseye, perfect shot, dead center of the bullseye, It's only perfect because it hit the exact spot that you defined as being perfect. If the arrow was changed in every way, in any manner, at any distance, at any other location, it ceases to be perfect. There's only one perfect. Every time God ever spoke, those words became unable to be reversed. You never ever heard God say, "Oops, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let me change that." Everything God has ever said was perfect the first time. God cannot change his mind concerning his perfect will. You cannot pray to get God to change his mind. Won't work. Don't matter how much fasting you do, it won't work. You cannot pray to get God to change his mind. God only responds to his own perfect will. You can pray to get the facts changed to his will, but you can't pray for God's will to be changed to what you want to be fact. You can't do it. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." You're not ready to pray until you know the will of God, because he's not going to hear it if it's not his will. It might take you a couple of days to figure out what the will of God is. You're not ready to pray until you know what the will is. When you know what the will is, it's an automatic yes. If you don't know what the will is, you're not ready to pray. You'll just be tossing words around, hoping that God might like some of them, that they might stick. God's will and God's truth are the same thing. Truth is permanent. Truth is perfect. Truth is eternal. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." If Jesus is eternal, then truth is eternal. Psalm 119:160 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal." Isaiah 26:4 says, "The Lord himself is the rock eternal." 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." I said all that to say this. Truth is permanent. It's perfect. It's eternal. But facts are subject to change. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Facts are temporary. Truth is eternal. I don't care what you've got going on in your life. Everything in your life is temporary. Everything you own is temporary. The only thing that's eternal about you has already gone on ahead of you into heaven and awaits you there. But here, everything is temporary. The house you think you own, somebody else will eventually own it, short of Jesus coming back. If he decides to wait another 50 or 100 years, somebody else will own your house. Somebody. Everything you think is yours is temporary. Miracles occur because something has gone terribly wrong. The laws of nature must be suspended to replace a current loss or to stop a potential future loss. Miracles occur in the natural, temporary realm. Because the natural realm, things are subject to change. There are no miracles in heaven. There are no losses in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease there. No accidents there. No bills there. There's no divorce there. There's no demons there. There's no death there. There's no miracles there. A miracle occurs because in the life that you're living, something goes terribly wrong and something needs to intervene and suspend the laws of nature. Nothing is going to go terrible wrong in heaven to where a miracle would be needed. We must not make the mistake of ever saying, it is true that I have cancer. It may be a fact that you have cancer, but it is not a truth. Not. Truth is not subject to change, but facts are. It's true that I have symptoms in my body. Wrong. Symptoms are a fact. They're subject to change. Never relegate the status of a fact to the status of truth. Never ever lift it up that high. It's true that I can't pay my bills. Wrong. Paying bills is factual. Subject to change. If facts weren't subject to change, then what a waste of time, a grand waste of time praying is. What a stupid thing to do to pray if facts were not subject to change. By Jesus' stripes I'm healed is the truth. That's really good. Symptoms in doctor's report are factual, subject to change, subject to change. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus is truth. It's truth. It's not changeable. Bills, economies, markets, employment are facts, subject to change. Politics is not truth, not even close, and it's subject to change. The weather is factual. It's subject to change, right? The entire earth is fact. It's not eternal, is it? God himself said this thing is going to be destroyed by fire. How old I am is a... It changes every second, doesn't it? It does. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. People, So my age may be factual. People should always be confused on exactly how old Christians are. Because they should look younger than they really are. I am closer to 70 years old than I am to 60. Yet, I can probably outrun many young people who have the impression of a couch on their hind end and a glaze from staring at a screen to the front. I bought a refrigerator magnet. I like cute little sayings. What's the one I bought before? It was like a guy was holding a girl, you know, holding like they were at the beach or something. It said medical reports show that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. So, but anyway, I saw another cute one. And this one, it's an old-fashioned picture of a girl on the phone. And she said, the internet was down for 5 minutes, so I went downstairs to talk to my family. They seem like nice people. So, anyway. So I think that we should look younger than we are. I think it should blow people away. And when they find out how old we are, it may be factual, but there's a truth underlying it that will be renewed so that people can't figure it out. God only tells the truth. Did you know that? This isn't part of my notes, but do you know why people lie? Because they're trying to get out of something, because somebody over them, a kid will lie to his parents or a teacher or maybe a police officer or something. A husband or a wife might lie to their spouse. People might lie to their boss. They lie to get out of stuff because they're afraid what's going to happen if the truth comes out. Who's above God that he's going to lie? What's he concerned about? You understand? There's nobody above God to where he thinks, oh, man, I need to lie. I need to lie to the people to tell them what's going to happen. The guy who says that if you don't repent, you're going to burn in hell. He could have said it nicer. God is the one that looks you straight in the eye and tells you the truth and nothing but the truth. And he lets you absorb it or not. I understand that you can serve mashed potatoes more than one way. Either, you know, the size of a snowball launched across the kitchen, or with a bowl and a spoon. I understand that. God only tells the truth. Do you know why God can't lie? Well, first of all, there's nobody above him. He's got no reason to. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's so impressive. He's so impressive that how are you going to impress somebody more than being perfect? Well, maybe you should try to be 110% perfect, you know. You can't get better than perfect. You can't operate better than imperfect love. Everything he does is perfect. In heaven, everything will be perfect. I saw a cartoon one time of a guy standing in hell with a coffee cup. He said, the coffee's cold. They thought of everything. But in heaven, there's always this element that it's perfect. No complaints. Why God can't lie? Because everything that God says is truth. Everything that God says is reality. Everything that God says becomes reality. Every time he said something to create the universe or earth or animals, he didn't go, whoops, oh, wow, look, sorry, didn't mean to do that one, you know? Yeah, some of you might scratch your head on some of the things you've seen on planet Earth, but nobody was a mistake, including you, okay? Well, every time God speaks, he speaks truth, which is the word reality. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's reality. We would all not be telling the truth if all of us said there's a puppy in front of the podium. We would not be telling the truth if we said it. But if God looked at the same empty space in front of the podium and said the same exact thing, there is a puppy right there, what would happen? There'd be a puppy there. because everything he says is truth or becomes truth. He can't lie because he only speaks truth. And if it isn't there when he says it, it will be. That's why he can't lie, because everything is true or becomes true based on what he says. Are you going to listen to God, who always tells the truth, or the devil, who focuses on the facts? Never confuse facts with truth. You cannot apply faith to get truth to change. If I pray hard enough, then I can get the Word of God to change, right? I can get God to change, right? Truth will never change. That's why so many people, they don't even know what to pray, because they don't know what the truth is. You pray the truth, you get the truth. If you're just throwing stuff out there like ideas and thoughts, truth will never change. Truth is fixed, immovable, permanent, it's eternal. You can only use faith to get facts to change. You can't use faith to get truth to change. Well, it'd help if we know what God wanted. At least he could have written it down or something. That'd been help, you know. He could have, like, gave us the mind of Christ if he wanted to, you know. Why didn't he do that? He could have stuck the Holy Spirit on the inside of us if he wanted to. That'd be a big help. I remember Keith Moore said, it occurred to me that if you could hear from God, you'd have it made. You'd have it made. And then he discovered that you could hear from God. God expressed himself, gave us the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the written word of God. We're not going to be able to go up to heaven and say, I didn't know. I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? All I had was the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. How am I supposed to get anything out of that? You can only use faith to get facts to change. Can you get the weather to change? Well, I don't believe you can. Well, then it won't happen for you. David and Sharon Halverson invited us for hamburgers, and a huge storm blew up. It was crazy. He wanted to get the hamburgers done. I looked across the street, and a big dumpster like we have, the one that weighs a couple hundred pounds that has rollers on it, was going down the street like a car all by itself. The wind was that strong. Every piece of scrap paper in Delavan, Wisconsin was going sideways. Dave's looking up. He says, we don't have to take that. I need to get my hamburgers done. And he said, in the name of Jesus, he stopped the storm. Across the street, the dumpster's rolling down there. The other way, everything is going sideways. We're in a pocket of nothing. I'm going, what is going on? And he's like doing the burgers and flipping, you know, like that, you know. And he gets them all done, and there's no wind at all. We step in the house, and it's a gully washer rain goes, whoosh. Because he needed to get the burgers done. Well, why didn't you stop the whole storm? He didn't need the whole storm stopped. He needed outside his step stopped. On both sides of the street, the storm didn't stop. But where we stood in the perfect stillness, it was weird. Because my eyes were looking at both sides of the street. But there was no wind where we were, no rain where we were. Get the facts to change to the truth, or in the direction of the truth. Get the facts to modify or morph or cease to exist or start to exist. Faith is a fact-changing phenomenon. That's what it does. It's a substance. It's a real thing. It changes facts. It does not change truth. It changes facts to line up with truth. It does not change truth to line up what you think ought to be the facts. An unbeliever does not have eternal life because the truth is not in them. They live surrounded by facts. When an unbeliever accepts the truth of Jesus Christ by faith and makes him their Lord, they have eternal life in Christ. If they stayed with the facts without faith, they're eternally lost. Faith separates out the truth from the facts. We must never blend the facts back together with the truth. Christians will do that. The world and your five senses and the devil's bunch and the mainstream media and unbelievers will overload you with facts everywhere you look. It is overwhelming to look at the facts around us. All of them are subject to change. We must never blend the facts back in with the truth. Once we've accepted the truth of God into our lives, we cannot then add mainstream media and what our eyes are seeing and ears are hearing and what we see in the natural fallen world and use them to add to truth. Anytime you use the word but, I know what the Word of God says, but the doctor said this. I know what the Word of God says, but the bank says this. I know what Scripture says, but I heard on CNN what was really going on. They took an opinion poll. It's a waste of time praying about changing a truth. It's not a waste of time finding out what the truth is and praying the truth. Well, how should I pray? Find out what the will of God is and pray that. What do you mean? Pray the Word of God. Well, that sounds too easy. That's like just pick something from the Word of God that's true and say that. That's what the word confession means, to say the same thing as. What, that'd be like saying, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. My God supplies all my need. If you want a guaranteed answer to a prayer, find the truth, the Scripture, and just say that. Don't add your stuff. Don't tell God the conditions and circumstances and situations factually that surrounds your condition. Now, God, the doctor said I have to die. They said I've got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. Is that helpful to tell God your facts? No. Do you think that God goes, really? Whoa, glad you told me. The devil is factual. He even tries to mess up truth. Remember when Jesus was standing on the temple? And he's saying, the Bible says, if you jump off of here, the angels will catch you. Jump? prove it. You think you're the Son of God? Prove it. Prove it. He wanted him to go splat. Right? He didn't even misquote it. He quoted it correctly. Jesus said, Scripture also says, right? He was misapplying it, trying to get him to do something stupid. Is that true? I mean, if somebody bumped him off the edge of something, of course they'd catch him. If it was an accident or somebody tried to hurt him or he tripped or fell or whatever. It's a waste of time praying about changing a truth. If you want to know what works, find the truth and just say that. Confession is not the same as going into a little booth and listing off your sins. Confession means say the same thing as. Confession for us is say the same thing that God says. Why? Because he put us in charge of this earth, put the authority for us to believe it and speak it. He needs us to say the same thing as him, because then he can enter those words and produce it. I seek my word to perform it. Well, why doesn't he do it? The answer is, because in Genesis, when he spoke his perfect word, he said, man shall rule over all the earth. Man shall make the decisions. If he ever reversed it and says, well, I'll just go ahead and do stuff anyway without mankind, the devil would stick his finger in God's face and said, ah, God, you're a liar. You said that man's going to rule over the earth and be in charge. So people will stand around saying dumb things like this. Well, God must know what I want. I'll just wait and, you know, whatever God wants, that's good with me. If he wants to bless me, okay. But if he doesn't, then I guess that's okay too, because he's God and I'm not. They'll make stuff up like that that's not even scriptural. Isn't that crazy? He knows what I need, I guess. If he didn't come through, well, I must not have needed it. You probably needed it really badly, but he had no open shot at it, no access, no legal avenue to get it there, because you're not believing and speaking it. Why doesn't he just do it anyway? He won't kick the door to your life down and barge in and just do the stuff, because when he said it the first time, it was perfect. And when he said it perfectly, it was that you make the decisions. What do I say? Confess it. What does that mean? Say what I said. Then I will honor my word in your life. And that's not a fact, that's a truth. It's a waste of time praying for facts to change to truth. A waste of time. If you could just figure out what the truth is and just say that, then what do I do? Then live into it. Live into it. Faith and patience. Wake up in the morning, eat some cereal, brush your teeth. Comb your hair, go out the door, live into those words. They'll go ahead of you. They'll be waiting for you. You'll live right into the God words. Well, if that was true, then why don't I just throw a bunch of God words out there in front of me and live into all of that? You can. You're saying that I could just take all these promises and just speak them out, and then it'll all go into my future and they're all going to happen. If you believe it, that is true. Well, why don't I have much? God's not got much to work with there. He's got to use your belief in your words. We need to divide our life carefully into what is a fact and what is a truth, and know the difference. Facts are temporary. Facts are subject to change. Truth is eternal. It's not subject to change. Do not ever elevate them, relegate them, lift them to the same status. I've had to change my words carefully because I use the word truth for a lot of stuff, including facts. Well, it's true. This is true. This is true. This is true. Be careful what you call true. If it isn't truth, it isn't true. It's factual, temporary, and subject to change. Bless God. Praise God. Well, I need to work on a little bit on these notes. I can tell that much. Thank you all for sitting here while I went through my little practice thing. And now I can tweak it a little bit. And, oh, by the way, everything I said is true. By the way, if you didn't know that. But anyway, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ. You are the truth. Praise your holy name forever. We want to get this right. We want to get it working in our lives. We declare that your word is true. We declare all of your works and your words in the name of Jesus to be established in our lives. Praise you for it. Amen.